chapter 13, because fuck me. It was a beautifully serene British summer day, a perfect bliss as though I'd entered heaven. I was riding my bike without a care in the world. An army of ducks had wandered from the lake and were blocking the road. Life felt perfect. Just as I went to dismount and walk around the adorable little things, I received a call from my mother. She'd made my ex somewhat of a second daughter and had temporarily housed her. She then moved into her own place after my mum found her a job. Fast forward to this glorious day, a week before my surgery, while I counted the number of ducks, I heard that her landlord had kicked her out. I figured that I'd need a nurse after I got home anyway, so I ignored my mum's rudeness and agreed to let my ex move back in with me, who shall hereafter be referred to as roommate. I had a lot of fun with my surgery friends, one of whom was the Japanese lady that got her surgery in roommate's place after I'd cancelled roommate's surgery deposit. I know that because it was on like the same day. I forgot that roommate was even at my house the whole time. You know, I was just too busy dilating, being in pain, eating dim sum, and not eating crickets the whole time. Enter the 1st of September 2018. I felt like it was an extremely turbulent flight, and I just felt like every stitch in my body was going to break. Economy class, without entertainment, and only a bloody hole, yellow by the time I landed. You do not know pain. My parents failed to pick me up because roommate's car had broken down and they were tending to that instead. An airport attendant refused to push me further once we landed. You know, he would only take me to the entrance to the main airport area. He wouldn't take me, like, actually to the cabs where I needed. I cried repeatedly until he did. I screamed at my mum over the phone all the way home in a cab that cost me £300. I screamed bloody murder for 2 hours on the phone with my mum. Like, she was there to greet me on the driveway when I got home, shower me, clothe me. Then I had to dilate and shower again, cried again. Then she fed me. I thanked her through tears. It was humiliating. But then I remembered that roommate exists. She walked in and stared at me, and I remembered that I'd left her behind. I remembered the smiling Japanese lady, and I smiled harder. I remembered the beautiful Japanese lady, and I calmed down. I took one hit of my vape, and I smiled again. I even laughed. Everything was well in hand. Our relationship would go on to have all the energy of a bad situation comedy. Her friends even said so. We got up to all sorts of weird things together, and the dysfunction of the two of us in that tiny bungalow caused all kinds of problems. Roommate and my mum both prepared food for me. I didn't want to be a burden to them, you know, since they were not vegan, and I just stopped being vegan. They made me a lot of dairy-rich meals because, you know, I reasoned that a vegetarian diet would be more feasible for them at least. I did later start eating meat again, though, during recovery because, you know, I'd eaten meat in Thailand, because there weren't really any viable options for vegans while I was there, and are reasons that I probably just needed more protein to speed up my recovery anyway. I love my new body. I went nudist for a while indoors, and I walked around a lot in my house. Roommates saw me naked all the time. It really amused me at the time, because I'd cancelled her surgery, right? So she was supposed to come to Thailand with me, but I'd cancelled her deposit after we broke up, since I'd already paid it myself. She hadn't paid a penny. Now she had to watch me enjoy myself in my new body that she could see. Although that's not really the reason why I did it. It was hot. It was summer. Morning came and I was already extremely bored. Home was boring. Sitting in bed all day was boring. Roommate more or less wiped my ass and did everything I asked, but, you know, she was a boring friend. And apparently my dubious maid, who still didn't know how to use a fucking shower, she did help me change my socks sometimes. Changing socks was extremely painful while I was in that state. My mum came every day to cook my meals. You know, she too was boring. My worker in the north was especially boring. Everything had become just mind-numbingly boring. Even the air was boring. Then, the Jehovah's Witnesses changed my life. For 6 weeks, I literally just invited them in. Like, they just came, they just knocked one day, and they came for a few hours each week, and they told me all about God. They saw my weakness, obviously, in that state, recovering from surgery, and they quickly picked up on my highly logical scientific mind. So they focused exclusively on supposedly scientific information contained in the Holy Bible. They told me all kinds of things, like how humanity was once immortal, how we all became evil, and how we're all going to not hell, because they don't believe in that either, it seems. They spoke one day of one day entering God's kingdom, where everyone would have perfect health at all times, all needs provided, and we'd all live forever. One eternal kingdom, God's kingdom. It sounded amazing. I wanted to hear more of this wonderful tale. I mean, it was an absolute load of bollocks, but they were my weekly real-life television channel. They also did extra shopping for me and made me cups of tea. I also showed them the interdimensional cable episode of Rick and Morty. My roommate was furious that I'd even let them in. She locks herself in a room whenever they came here. The Jehovah's Witnesses once actually entered my house while I was dilating. You know, they knocked and I said, "Yeah, come in." I was like, "Oh shit!" So, you know, I pulled the duvet over the lube and learned about Pontius Pilate, my religious friends, none the wiser that I was pissing bloody lube as I took multiple fat vapes. I continued dilating immediately after they left, and I still didn't even close the door. Too fucking hot that day. You know, it was the middle of fucking September, and it was still hot. I was trolling them, obviously. You know, 6 weeks went by, and I was much more mobile at that point. You know, I was walking again. I told them that I completely forgot that they were coming, and I just couldn't be bothered. So I told them what I really thought. You know, that I told them that the God they describe is a fascist, and that the world they want is called fascism. The look of horror in his eyes brought me great joy. A wonderful end to 6 weeks as we fade to black. I mean, you know, he was actually really upset. He said, "Only, like, you don't know him." Him and his disciple walked away to brainwash someone else after that. He did come back later to my driveway, like, a year later. I was really drunk, and I don't even remember what I said. But it insulted him. Whatever I said insulted him, and he was spamming my messages for, like, a day. Nice bloke. Insane, but nice. November 2018 rolled around, and I still had I had a new Libra Boot talk on at the Freenode Live 2018 conference in Bristol in the United Kingdom. I was back on my feet quickly. Really enjoyed it. You know, I spent a lot of nights there talking to a really special friend online that I knew at the time. My vagina sang to her. She told me that I have a porn star pussy. I also got really drunk in my room on the last night while I was there, throwing up and leaving a really big mess for the staff to clean up. And on the same night, I also enjoyed a really nice Indian restaurant meal with a random Libra Boot fan who'd been stalking me all day. Nice bloke. He also bought one of my routers. The same night, while I was really drunk, I'd wrote in my journal, you know, sitting in a pub with my rum and coke, and I wrote the following words. It read, "My life is comically absurd." I knew exactly what it meant the next day. The FSF executive director was there, and he had me fix a Libra Boot issue on his ThinkPad. I insisted that he install Vim before I did so. He was an Emacs maintainer. I also volunteered at the FSF booth, and I sold one of their Emacs books even to an onlooker. It was my job, you know, to sell gear for the FSF. The juxtaposition of me sitting in that chair amused me. I was smiling politely at the FSF boss all day, being extremely nice to him, and I even complimented his clothes. Like, he told me a bit about himself, like how he used to smoke cigarettes and be really fat before going vegan and not smoking cigarettes. That's all I remember him saying. I nodded meekly while not reading his Emacs book, but I found the GNU plushie that he had really satisfying. I was back. No rest for the wicked, and I took it slow anyway, you know, no heavy lifting for a year, but, you know, that's what my minion in the north was for. Christmas came and went without incident, except that roommate would cry as always, and I just played Duke Nukem 3D in DOSBox on my Libra Boot desktop computer. Roommate just kept me entertained every now and then, and, you know, I'd watch TV with her and play computer games with her. We'd often just talk like friends, you know. Like, she still had her own problems, of course, but, you know, she was doing a little bit better at that time. She had a job, and, you know, she knew best not to offend me at that point. I was really rubbish at judging time. Like, we once drove all the way to the north of England to meet someone. Like, I thought he was much closer. I didn't even know where his town was. I just said, "Go here." And I had, like, a GPS thing on. But I didn't even look at that. I didn't know it was, like, 4 hours away. So I just kept telling her directions until she finally asked, "Where the hell are we going?" And she was really mad. Like, she was just furious the rest of the way and back. We got back about 3 o'clock in the morning or so, and my meeting with the man only lasted about an hour. You know, so we're on the road for like 6 hours just so I can talk to some bloke for an hour. We got about 2 or 3 hours sleep before we went to a pride event that morning. And this is why she was really pissed off, because like she knew she was going to be knackered all day. I laughed at her and told her, just sleep at home. Knowing that she had a pride event anyway, I mostly slept in the car myself, you know, so I was fine both ways. I spent time with my local Labour Party that day, because they also had a pride stall, forgetting that roommate even existed until she later drove me home. This was actually before, like a few days before my surgery, actually, like before I left for Thailand. My roommate, now post-Thailand, my roommate once held me hostage while bedridden, making me watch every then-released episode of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, so like a Japanese anime series. I learned to like it, and I really like one of the characters in it called Jotaro. Roommate also brought home her weird friends. she had loads of really weird friends. She'd bring them to like entertain me every now and then. A lot of them were really nice. She also brought home her new girlfriends regularly. Like, she would be dealt with at a later date. I couldn't stand staying in bed. You know, I went shopping for food again after about 2 months recovery using roommate, who'd drive me in a car and carry everything. Any number of errands, really. There was just one problem. Her staying with me was finite while I got back on my feet, as she looks for a new place with a girlfriend. Roommate was into, like, you know, BDSM, but a new girlfriend wasn't. In other words, roommate needed a new partner. She said so herself, but, you know, she loved her girlfriend, and she had remained loyal. Yeah, new girlfriend. She came home with her new girlfriends came home with her on sometimes, and it was the supermarket all over again. Like, this woman, like, she wasn't just judging my shopping basket anymore. She was judging my fucking house, bitch. She came in during the morning. Like, you know, she stayed with the night. She'd been staying the night with my girlfriend, with my roommate rather. And she used my toilet. She came in during the morning. And all I remember thinking at the time was, she actually did look quite beautiful. The only problem was, I knew the mind behind it was duller than dishwater. Archaeologists usually are. I was soldering some... Every archaeologist that I've ever met has been just an incredibly dull person. This is not to say that all archaeologists are dull. I was soldering some stuff in my lab, and she said nothing to me. You know, she same thing as ever. She just avoided eye contact with me the entire time. She just thought I was a piece of shit. Well, you know, she never even thanked me for the dinner that I made for the previous night. You know, I made a really, really nice pizza, homemade and vegan. I did say good morning, at least, and she didn't say anything. You know, she's like, fuck her then. Roommate reached breaking point later that week and decided to take my advice that I'd been given her to dump her new girlfriend, you know, because she wanted to meet BDSM partners instead. She'd already been cheating on her in her mind, you know. She was going to do it sooner or later anyway. So all she needed to do was commit physically and confirm, just affirm her wishes. I told her, again, that she should just follow her heart. In other words, leave her girlfriend and seek BDSM partners. I told her this repeatedly. I only nudged her gently. Like, you know, I said it like once or twice, you know, maybe like two or three times. I even helped her buy the gear that she needed to do it. You know, all the latex, everything. Her girlfriend was extremely intelligent and would likely have a new job soon in a highly specialized field of archaeology. And they would have been happy together, probably. I mean, the sex would have been awful. They wouldn't have satisfied either of them. But, you know, like, they probably would have had the same problems I had with her, actually, when we were dating. Namely, that they just would not have sex. But now, I'm all about unhappy marriages, but I liked having my maid. Like, she was helping me around with stuff, and I remember the night she drove to a girlfriend's place that night to, you know, dump her. She was nervous the whole time before leaving. Like, she was just really guilty about it. I've never understood this about people. Like, you know, when I cheated on her, I didn't think about it. I just did what I want. I don't get it. That, you know, like, she did genuinely, like, you know, love her. She cried a lot after she got home. Like, she just broke down, like, which annoyed me, because I had shit to deal with the next day, you know. Like, you made your mind up. What are you crying about? You know, I was satisfied though, like, because like I just did not like her new girlfriend. It also meant that she now stayed with me for longer to be my friend. She soon started actually seeing BDSM partners. The new BDSM partners were actually really nice. They were the weird friends that I mentioned before. It was a new person almost every night sometimes the same one. I wasn't really interested in the sex that they had. I left them to it. You know, they had their own little room. She was in the garage. There was a garage outside my bungalow that was like converted, you know, like living space, electricity, heat and insulation and all that. You know, in the morning, or, you know, like they just come in and talk to me. I'm making breakfast. They tell me about their lives, and some of them actually did have quite interesting lives, actually. Some of them were, like, really intelligent. Liverboot was well in hand at this point. The committee wrote a lot of code and, you know, attracted a lot of developers themselves. They ran the projects competently at that point, I thought, so just let them get on with it. They maintained my Liverboot castle for me. I also had my worker in the north doing, you know, company stuff. All I did was invoicing and just did whatever I want all day. Everything was well in hand. I had freedom in, like, every sense of the word. Everyone was doing everything for me. I also had pain, and I also had to tolerate roommates' friends, because some of them were actually fucking annoying, but, you know, it was a small price to pay. I'd sit and vape while I listened to them bore me to tears. I taught myself some really highly advanced electrical engineering, and I spent about a year mastering microsoldering, entirely from visualizing what I saw on YouTube videos and then just replicating it. I just copied what I saw and just, you know, learned by muscle memory. I possess a highly visual mind, so, you know, I'm really good with my hands as well. I drew a lot. You know, I never lost that skill. You know, I could paint really realistic portraits when I was, like, you know, 10. And I stopped doing it mostly since my teenage years, but, you know, I'm sitting there recovering in bed in pain. I couldn't exactly do anything, and I couldn't be bothered to do any, like, you know, programming or anything. So I just drew. Like, I got really pissed off one day because I didn't have any drawing stuff. So I had my mum go out and buy me some, like, you know, like pens and pencils and pads and whatnot. I did mostly like anime fan art, usually crossovers, Goku hunting the Dragon Balls in Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, for example. The FSF also posted a scan of a realistic portrait that I did of Richard Stallman. It was a pencil sketch, actually. I mean, they called it terrific on their Twitter page. I moonlighted in the Communist Party for a while because someone I knew was in it and I was curious. I mostly just shitposted on Twitter about it, but, you know, I wasn't really involved much. In fact, I never went to meetings and I didn't actually do activism. You know, I sympathised with them at the time, but I didn't really care. And social democratic politics is fine. I probably just should have just stayed in the Labour Party, to be honest. They were much more intelligent in practice. You know, they were just more useful at that time. I did post some, like, really stupid stuff, no longer online, because I was bored. Some vaguely defined revolutionary spiel. The leader of the Communist Party of Britain shall be named Party Comrade Boss. And we'll have more to say about him in a upcoming chapter. I also spent a lot of time just, you know, going out places with roommate. You know, I was walking again by November 2018. You know, my surgery also killed most of my sex drive. So, you know, I didn't need sex anymore. I still had, you know, like, feelings, but I could mostly ignore them. Like, it was just weak. So what I had now was essentially a new friend for the second time. We weren't dating. We're just living together and sharing deeply personal stories and feelings with each other on a regular basis, which I now had time for because, you know, everything's been done for me. So I didn't mind at that point, you know. I didn't have much going on, so I was like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. Generally just expressing and interested in each other's hobbies and doing things. You know, we were friends. She had a job at that point as well. As I said, you know, like, she was basically stable, from what I could tell. You know, she seemed much happier as well. So, you know, she wasn't actually a pain in the ass anymore. She would occasionally bring home a new dominatrix, one of whom was a Jamaican lady that I really liked. She had some of the most beautiful dreadlocks I'd ever seen. And really weird. She told me what a sex headache was after she was done with my girlfriend, with my roommate. And she explained it to me while I was speedrunning Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence on my PlayStation 2, just after they'd had sex. I was often selected to be their conversation partner for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe they just wanted to talk to me. I don't know what they saw in me, but you know, I'm just sitting there with a hole in me, just playing games. The Jamaican lady was my favourite one. Like, she really enjoyed watching me sneak around in Groznygrad in the game. And I was playing the game at Metal Gear Solid 3 and on European Extreme difficulty. Roommate came home one day to find me with the PlayStation 2 still on. She'd gone out for a few hours and, you know, I'd had fun for a few hours. I stood up. I was in bed and I total blank. I don't even remember doing this. I got out of bed. I stood up. I pulled my trousers down and I pissed out 2 bottles of Merlot onto the floor. Just complete fugue state. I couldn't stop laughing and writing angry note the next morning as I'd imagined her cleaning my piss. I started my day and just immediately made her drive me somewhere in the car, although I don't remember where. She couldn't say anything, you know. I needed all the help I could get at this difficult time. I was genuinely in need of help, and you know, but I did take several liberties. I once also showed my pornographic collection to my mother while drunk during this time, and she said nothing. She made cocktails for me one night, and I was just chatting with her, and I just had one too many. She told me later that I seem really weird when I'm drunk. Not happy or sad drunk, like most people, just like... No, she just said I just, like, said weird things when I'm drunk. I don't know what to say when I'm drunk, because I don't remember. That's literally the point.